Hey Wendy, hi Anita, hi Nick, hi Inbal. So good to see everybody. Welcome, welcome. So we're together for 3 hours today. Yay! Let's get centered and settled and grounded. So I invite you, if it feels comfortable, to close your eyes. If it doesn't feel right to close your eyes, keep them open and set the intention to go inwards. And take a few moments to arrive. Remembering your breath. Using your awareness of the breath to bring yourself fully here, to give yourself the gift of presence. And through your awareness of the breath, remember your body. Give yourself the gift of being in your body as much as is comfortable and aligned for you right now. And then I invite you to place a hand on your heart and also a hand on your belly and to feel your feet on the ground. And take a few moments to connect in with your heart. With all that you hold in your heart has seen a lot. There has been a lot of living through your heart, a lot of hearting. I invite you to honor all that you hold there. The love and the anger, the beauty and the pain. And then connecting your heart to your belly through the breath and honoring your gut. Honoring your intuition, honoring your ability to digest, not just food, but to digest the experiences of your life. I'm taking one more moment here to honor all that you are. I'm sealing it in with a nice deep breath and an exhale. And if your eyes aren't already open, I invite you to open your eyes, bringing yourself fully present to our time together today. So I am so excited that we have this extended time together today. We got 2 hours last week. We get 3 hours this week. Most important thing to mention, because it might be on your mind, we will take a bathroom break, I promise, at about 90 minutes in. So about 4 Eastern, we'll take a 10 or 15 minute break. And of course, if you need to take a break or, you know, take care of yourself as we move through our time together today. We're going to be diving into resistance and the resistance archetypes. And even if you have learned with me on this before, either because you've taken it in sacred depths before, for those of you that are here for the second time, or because you've been with me at the Art of Client Transformation, we touch on this in the Art of Client Transformation, or I think maybe even a couple of you took my resistance archetypes 4-week course last spring. So even if you have been exposed to this and worked through some of this before, my invitation to you is to go deeper today. Come to it with fresh ears, without the resistance archetype of the know-it-all. I already know this. There's nothing here for me, right? And find the nuances, find the next places for yourself, both personally and as a practitioner. The work that we're doing today, and really all of the work that we're doing in this kind of second, we're in our kind of like second pillar of sacred depth. So the first pillar is the foundational principles. And then second pillar started with befriend your fear, and is going to continue for a while. This whole pillar is about giving you different tools to support clients with their blocks. And you'll see as we move through today, you can use each of these tools on their own. For sure, you can just use befriend your fear process, for example, on its own. And also, they're all interconnected. Everything that we're learning in this bigger pillar can be mixed and matched, and they all build on each other as well. And I bring that up because we're definitely going to be looking at fear today. We can't look at resistance without also looking at fear. And I also bring it up because the most effective way to support our clients and ourselves with resistance is also to come to it with a deep understanding of what we looked at last week in terms of projections and dynamics and bringing patterns into the container. And so that being said, I'd love to spend a couple minutes right now hearing from some of you on what's been resonating since our session last week, when we looked at family dynamics and patterns, both for our clients and ourselves, and even cultural dynamics, right? And how they show up in the container and our energetics around that. I'd love to hear what's been moving through you, whether you've actually been consciously thinking about it this week or just as you remember back now, what's feeling important, what's been moving through you from our energetics to class? Who'd like to share? Maybe you've been seeing some more of your patterns as you've been moving through your week or with clients or in client sessions. Who'd like to share? I know somebody has a share. Nikki.
So with one of my practice clients, I can see her need for that motherly approval coming through. And this is kind of a double-edged sword in a way, because she said last week after our class that actually I hold a nurturing mother energy, which I never would have thought for myself, given the nature of the transformation work with corporate clients. I hold normally, I have been trying to hold much more feminine energy, but with corporate clients, I've been holding a lot of masculine energy, ambition, push, drive, you know, those sort of things. But I've been very conscious because I've wanted to heal myself to be holding much more feminine energy and be much more in flow. So it was kind of nice that she said that I had that mother, nurturing mother energy, but equally some of her behaviors playing through showed something different.
I think I'm understanding what you're saying. Well, actually, why don't you share with us when you say her behavior shows something different? Tell us a little bit more what you mean by that.
So that need for approval.
Yeah.
Because she has a tumultuous relationship with her mother. Like, she's looking to me for approval for different things.
Yes, yes. That's what I thought you meant. Okay, good. So first of all, just want to really acknowledge what you're acknowledging here, that you're bringing through a nurturing energy. So really well done, especially with all that corporate experience, right? So wonderful. And then, and the fact that your client is noting that, right? I think that's just, again, for you to own it and take it in. And then that's also in terms of your work with this client, such good information for the both of you, right? Because if she's noting it, it does mean that there is a need there for that approval. And so you spoke about, I think you used the term double-edged sword. And yeah, like the trick here, it's not a trick, but like where we're walking as practitioners here is that we do want to give that archetypal nurturing energy. And at the same time, we don't want our client to become reliant on that and keep on coming to us for that in moments where actually the validation would be better served if it's coming from themselves. Now, just to say, none of us are robots. All of us are messy human beings, sometimes need acceptance and nurturance and validation from outside sources, myself included. So it's not like, we don't want to look at this in a black or white way either, because humans are humans. And sometimes a client really needs from us to be like, that's amazing. That's so wonderful that you did that, right? When they're doubting themselves. That being said, in order to hold both, that nurturing, bringing that nurturing archetypal and accepting archetypal energy to the container, without making the client dependent on that, we want to do a couple of things. So number one, back to last week, creating awareness, right? Creating awareness, so key, right? And then helping the client see that pattern and how they might be bringing that into the container. That's number one. Number two, in situations like this, I also like to, I mean, I always like to speak the truth. And this is, you know, another situation where I'll speak the truth. And so once we've looked at that pattern and the client can see, you know, this and that, I will, and again, it always depends on the client. So this isn't all the time, but generally then I will say to my client, I want you to know two things that seem like they're two opposite things and that this is a paradox, but I want you to know both of these things are happening at the same time. Number one, I accept you fully and I will continue to accept you fully and I will let you know how amazing you are as we move forward, no matter what. And at the same time, our work together is also about you feeling this acceptance and validation inside of yourself more and more. And so because of that, there are going to be moments where I'm actually not going to rush to tell you how amazing you are. And instead hold loving and empowering space for you and ask you questions or point out things so that you can find it inside of yourself. How does that land for you, right? And so that way you're actually telling your client your plan, right? And how you're gonna work on this together and that you're holding both. How does that land for you, Nikki? What are you seeing? What's feeling important there?
I think for her where she is, I think that's because I work with a tool called the GC Index, I also identify what energetics you live and play in.
Mm-hmm.
So because she's a strategist, that will actually make her feel comfortable to know the plan.
Strategy is, yeah.
Yeah. But one of the other things I do with her is I, like, of course I do tell her she's amazing, or I do point out what an amazing realization you've just had or whatever it might be. But what's the other thing I do with her is, how do you feel about that? So I won't actually answer, and I'll have her answer how she feels about that. Where are you feeling that in your body? Okay, that's amazing. Yes. So you've just validated yourself, yes, as well.
It's like you're validating, what you're doing as a practitioner is validating herself.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. No, really well done. And then I think just like being clear on the strategy will help. And then also, for this particular, like the self-acceptance, remember everything we looked at when we looked at celebrating and acknowledging, and you may want to, you may already be doing this, but if not, you may want to bring, like, especially if she's a strategist, in a more formal or routine way into the container, opportunities for her to acknowledge and celebrate herself and really own cognitively and somatically her resources, her wins, her brilliances, her ideas, et cetera, can be homework. It can be on the focus report. It can be in the beginning of every session or whatever makes sense for her, but to kind of underscore those pieces around celebrating.
We tend to do wins of the week at the beginning of the session.
Yeah, good, good. If you may already be doing this then, see if she needs to slow it down a little bit and not just say it, but also feel each of those wins so that she can embody them and own them inside of herself.
And maybe that's something I can do more of with her, because the challenge we have is she does have some body issues. So sometimes going into the body will trigger her quite a bit. Yeah. So it's knowing when. And I'll always say, are you okay for this today? How are you feeling? How are you checking in when you're coming through or coming? How are you arriving? So then I've got an idea. Can I go to that today, or do I need to stay away from it for you because there's other things going on?
Yeah. And this, every client is different. So, you know, you can see this, but I'll just toss a little tip there. Sometimes heart is okay. Even rest of body is off limits, right? So you can just activate the heart level or feel that in your heart if it's a moment for not feeling it anywhere else in the body. I mean, ask her, you know, so you know, but that could be like a good alternative for her.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Great. I'm so glad you brought that forward. Such good stuff. We have time for one more share if anyone has one. What's been on your mind or moving through you since our session on energetics last week? Anyone else want to share?
I can.
Great. Thanks, Lada.
Hi. This was very, very interesting to listen through. Lots of insights on my side. I've been working on my ideal sister energy, and it's been going really, really, really well. I'm delighted to feel like so much more abundance and things just really growing rapidly, with people feeling excited to collaborate on new projects. It's been really, really amazing. So it's been a great discovery.
I'm so happy to hear it. And it feels like, it feels like there's you got over a big hump with that.
Yeah, it was a huge aha moment, and it was great that I was able to put it in practice in more than one container, and it feels really good. On a personal level, while taking classes, I felt more like actually stepping in, asking, and sometimes I don't get the questions that answer. And I'm like, this is infuriating. But then it's just the way it is. So at least I did ask, and then I figure out, okay, I'll have to get this info a different time, a different way. So
I love that. I mean, just there is sounds like a new way of navigating your energy.
Yeah. Good. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. I love that. And I want to point out for everyone, you know, if it is appealing for you, do your own version of what Vlada did this week. Pick one of the archetypal energies that you want to work on and see, you first ask yourself, what is that ideal of that archetypal energy? And then see if you can kind of move into it and insert it into different areas of your life. It doesn't necessarily have to only be client sessions, right? How can I bring sister, ideal sister to this situation, or ideal this, or, you know, whatever that, and work it, embody it that way, create the new neural and energetic pathways that way. Okay. All right. So with all of that, let's dive in to resistance. So there are a lot of different ways to understand and to define resistance. For our purposes today, I'm going to define resistance in a very particular way. And here it is. It's when you're supporting your client towards their goals, and an obstacle comes up in such a way that you, as the practitioner, feel that you don't have the green light to continue to work on the issue with your client. I'm going to say that again. You're working, you're supporting your client towards their goals, and an obstacle comes up. And the way that it comes up, you as the practitioner feel that you don't have the green light in that moment to continue to work with your client on it. So this is a little bit different than if you're working, you're supporting your client towards a goal, and they have a fear about reaching the goal, but you still feel like the client is open and willing to work with you on it. We're going to call that fear, right? The way we looked at it in the Befriend Your Fear module. This is when you feel like you don't, the client is in one way or another not giving you the green light. And this resistance that I'm talking about right now, and I'll give you examples of it in a few moments to illustrate it, but the resistance that I'm talking about right now is way sneakier than what we can call simple fear, like we looked at in the Befriend Your Fear module. It feels as if the resistance to the client's desired goals is a reasonable reason that just can't be worked with. Or it's as if the resistance is coming out as an actual resistance to you, the practitioner, or to the work that you're doing together. At its core, resistance is fear, but it's a fear that is kind of like sneaky or deep, so that it masquerades as an issue that the client has with you or with the work that you're doing together. The resistance that we're talking about today is kind of like a very smart and tricky way of distracting from actually looking at the fear and befriending it so that you can move forward. So it's almost like our client has a fear, one of the core fears that we looked at in the Befriend Your Fear module. So it might be a fear of being seen, or a fear of getting it wrong, or a fear of being abandoned, or a fear of failing or getting rejected, you know, whatever that core fear is. And we'll say like this is the core fear. And ultimately we want to befriend that fear. We know that. But sometimes the fear really wants to hide and wants to protect itself, and it doesn't want to be seen. And so the resistance wraps itself around the fear as a way of distracting. It might wrap its way around the fear through procrastination, or through the client just getting confused, is like totally confused about what you're talking about all of a sudden, or through stalling, or through getting angry or annoyed at you, or not showing up for things. We'll go through all the different ways, right? And then all of a sudden, this is a great distraction, because then you have to kind of deal with, but they're confused, but they're angry at me, but that, right? And it distracts from that core fear. That's how it's sneaky. As an aside, and you'll see this as we move through, this lens of understanding resistance as this way of distracting from fear can also be really valuable in helping clients to see how they go into their defended places when they get triggered in general. So, for example, if John, my husband, says something that feels like a little critical of me, and I like maybe I know there's a truth in what he's saying, that might bring up a fear of not good enough. Instead of dealing with the fear of not good enough, I turn into, this isn't a resistance archetype we're going to look at today, but I turn into the resistance archetype of the bitch and I totally tell him off. And then we get to have a fight about that instead of me actually being with what it's brought up inside of me. It's kind of like a survival mechanism in a way. So to be clear, what we're talking about today is different than when a client says to you, I'm scared to do this, right? Whatever that this is, I'm scared to go on the dating app. I'm scared to you know, make that video for my business. I'm scared of the team meeting and I really want you to help me. It's different when they say, I'm so scared of what others will think if, right? This, what we're looking at today is they're not giving you the green light to look at that together. Once you work, and we'll look at today on how to loosen up that outer distracting layer of resistance, then you can go in and do a befriend your fear, or you can do a rewiring negative thoughts, which we'll look at, or you can look at myth of perfection, or you can look at wheel of self-sabotage, you know, all the different things that we're going to be getting to over the next months. But first, it's about loosening up that outer layer. So I know I'm talking a lot. I want to give just a couple of like specific examples to illustrate this more, and then we'll pause for a moment and hear what's coming through for you. There are really nearly endless ways that resistance can manifest in a client's behavior towards you or towards the coaching or towards the container, like so many. But I'm going to share some of the most common ones that can come up. Not showing up for sessions on time. I don't mean once, right? They were running late, but like consistently not showing up on time, canceling at the last minute or not showing up at all. Having a bad attitude in session. Not doing homework and having really reasonable reasons for it. Getting mad at you because they're not getting the results that they want. Getting stuck in confusion about things. Consistently getting overwhelmed. Now, again, sometimes there is a real underlying reason. We all, you know, like we never want to bypass that. We'll talk about that more as the session today unfolds. So we don't want to bypass if there is an actual reason for any of these things other than the fear and the resistance. Anina Singh, what would you call a bad attitude? Good question. So things like, oh, we already went over that. I don't need to go over that again. Or like, that's just like stupid. We don't need to talk about that. Like that, or that's too obvious. Or, you know, I just don't want to do that. And it's just because I'm not right. Like kind of, Anina, let me know if that makes sense. Kind of just having an attitude of like, I don't want to go there. I don't want to do this. This isn't working. That kind of thing. Okay, good. Saying things in session like, this just isn't working for me. Excessive procrastination. Any kind of woe is me. I can't, you know, like any of that kind of stuff. I think I mentioned this one. I already knew that. This isn't new. You didn't help me enough. The plan you suggested wasn't good, and that's why I didn't get what I want. Why aren't we moving through things more quickly? You, practitioner, aren't doing enough or aren't showing up enough. This is too hard for me. Everything is hard for me, etc. All right, let's pause here. What's catching your attention so far? What are you seeing? What's feeling important? Angie.
How many of these like apply to me?
But you know, we want to be aware with love and self-compassion, right?
Right. No, but I appreciate it because it is helping me to think. I do have some really resistant executive clients that I hadn't really thought about them as being resistant. I just felt like they thought that this isn't the type of thing that works for them, but that's just another word for resistance, right? Like this doesn't work for me. And, you know, so anyway, seeing it in myself and also seeing a lot of these pop up for people that I am coaching already that I wouldn't have labeled them as resistant. I would have just said, oh, it's just not a good fit.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so glad that you're seeing that both for yourself and in these clients, right? Because again, check filters, don't bypass. That might be the case for some of them, but for most, actually, my guess is that it's hitting on a core fear, and they just have that's a very sophisticated excuse, right? Oh, this isn't, I mean, it doesn't sound sophisticated, but it is, right? It's like, how do you argue with that? Good. Who else? What's feeling important? What's really, what are you really seeing so far that's feeling resonant for you? Anyone else want to share? All right. Well, Sarah, go ahead. Yeah.
I've just noticed that in all the different exposures I've had to this discussion with you and our community, that little by little, it's almost like a meditation practice where I'm feeling friendlier toward clients and myself. So it's kind of like a befriend the resistance. Times we hear it.
Yes.
It feels like plaque sort of falling off.
I love how you're describing it. And it's so true. And we will get to like the energetics around all of this. But it's really like what you're saying is so true is that it's like, how are we approaching this? How are we continuing to approach it? Not just once, but come back to it. Love that metaphor of it, like falling away, like the plaque. Yes.
Yeah. So thank you. Because you're the one bringing it up. So appreciate it.
Okay. Vesica is saying you're noticing how much resistance takes skill to notice. Yeah. We want to always, with everything, be using all of our listening skills, checking our filters, making sure we're not bypassing, but really listening in between, right? In between the layers. So I have a feeling some of you have already answered my next question or two for yourself, but I'll ask it anyway, give you a few moments. What are ways that resistance is manifesting for you right now? What are some ways that resistance is manifesting for you right now? Procrastination, it's a biggie. Overscheduling. Yeah. Procrastination and confusion, victim mentality. We're going to talk about that. Not getting homework done on time. Yep. I was going to say, I was also going to ask, how is resistance to our training, right? To sacred depth showing up for you too. It's okay. I'm just going to normalize it right now, right? There, even if you're like all in, there might also be some resistance. That's okay. Heather.
Yeah, I'm not sure like how to say this, but one of the indicators that I'm in resistance is I will like overload my schedule. So it's not really procrastination.
Yeah.
It's more avoidance.
Yeah, avoidance for sure. For sure. I'm glad you're bringing that in. Yes. Yeah. You're overscheduled and then you don't have to do the thing that's actually bringing up the fear, right? Which is actually the thing you probably want to be doing. Yes. Good. Vesica.
Yes. Something that's been showing up for me, obviously procrastination, overloading my schedule. I didn't even think of that as being resistance. But I've been really looking into this, Joanna, and I'm in this this inquiry and curiosity with how much is and I'm see if I get this with everything that not just myself but people have gone through in the collective in the last several years or what have you, is how much of it is also associated to being in a freeze state. So I've been looking at somatic work with myself, like, am I in a free state or am I procrastinating? Mm-hmm. Like, is there, you know what I mean? Like, is there some collective energy that's like holding a lot? Because a lot of people live in procrastination and maybe women do a lot of times too. And there's, I'm just in this inquiry of like, for myself, like doing some somatic work around it. Because I find that like we did with the sacred advanced, mm-hmm. how much energy is held in the procrastination that could actually not be a mental thing. So I just wanted to drop that in and see if you had, you know, anything to add.
If I think, explain a little bit more by what you mean by free state. I just want to first make sure I'm fully with you.
Okay, so in let's say, okay, so for example, there's a little trauma in the collective, right? About like all of the stuff that's happened. I don't want to name it, but all the stuff that's happened that's created a lot of division among people, a lot of fear around health, and then family. Separations and people dividing and all that is like the trauma I'm speaking of. And on a collective, a lot of people for the last couple of years have gotten, you know, in that. And I'm wondering like how much of that, that's almost like a startle. There's a startle that first happens when we have a somatic experiencing of trauma. The startle happens. And then all of a sudden, it's like the animal will stop and freeze in the moment and not take action because there's not a healing or there hasn't been like a resolve of this trauma. We're still in it collectively. And that's what I'm speaking to. And
I heard you saying free, which I didn't make sense. But you're saying freeze. Now I understand. Yeah. And so this is where our listening skills are so vital, right? And not bypassing and actually seeing like, is this person right now actively in a, you know, fight, flight, freeze, fawn reaction? And then, you know, and like you have your tools and you're in advanced depth. We look at some things around that, completing the cycle, et cetera. Or is this more of that distraction that I was talking about? Now, even distraction, like I said, it is a survival response, but it's like, is this a moment that is going to support a client, or at least within the scope of coaching, to work through the resistance? Is this a moment to refer the client out? Or is this a moment where it's helpful for the client to actually take a pause, to not do that thing that is so scary for them so that they can integrate whatever they need to integrate? Or like Vlada's saying in the chat, or just they need rest, right? So I think it's always about coaching the what versus the who. Is that helpful?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I was just bringing that in because I was wanting to add that into the conversation too, because I feel like sometimes that's, again, I'm this resistance, like looking at it with you is definitely, having me see how much a skill set it is to actually notice that, is it resistance or is it something else? Yeah. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, good. So here's what I want us to take in next with all of this, which is so important. Even the best practitioners out there are going to encounter clients who step into resistance. This isn't a matter of if I were a better coach or practitioner, then my clients would never experience resistance. And that's because, as we already know from our Befriend Your Fear module, when someone is in the process of growth, fear is likely to come up. And while luckily much of the time when that fear comes up, your clients will probably be willing to look at those fears, directly. Sometimes the fears are big and the deeper resistance is going to kick in. That's just like, it's natural. It's normal. That being said, we do want to know how to hold it and navigate it with clients so that it doesn't put a halt on the work that we're doing together. The other thing that is really important to say before we go any further is that none of us, myself included, are magicians. And what I mean by that is, even with the best skills and aligned energetics and dedication and commitment and mastery, there are going to be certain times that you're not going to be able to successfully walk a client past resistance. And it's not because you're not a good enough coach or a good enough communicator or leader, that your questioning skills aren't good enough. It's simply because it's not a moment that your client is willing to look at it. Might be because of what Vesica just mentioned, or for another reason, right? That is not the moment. It's like the resistance is there as a protection mechanism, and the protection is more important than going deeper in that moment. Now, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't look at resistance or work with resistance. Most of the time, especially with the tools that we're learning here, you will be able to walk your client to the other side of it. But again, I just want to put it out there, like, we are amazing. And also, we are not gods. We are not magicians. Sometimes someone just isn't ready. And that is as it should be, right? That's not because of a deficit in us or a deficit in them. We can't make anyone ready. We can't make anyone willing. Right? They have to be willing. And that's why I often drop this as early as an enrollment or sales conversation with someone. We'll look at fears in the sales conversation, and I will mention to them, I can't force you, right? Like, I can't make you willing to look. But what I will say is, like, what do you know about your willingness, right? So I already see that and pre-qualify that from the beginning. So based on all of this, let me ask you this. When was a time when you simply weren't ready or weren't willing to move past your own resistance, either because it wasn't the right time, or like you, I don't know how to say this, like it wasn't the right, you weren't, didn't have the development, inner development enough to move past the resistance. So when was a time when you simply weren't ready or weren't willing to move past your own resistance? Fanshan.
Oh, the first 10 years of my marriage. I mean, like so big time and so many opportunities. I have the most emotionally connected, supportive partner, husband. And there were so many opportunities, but I didn't have the tools. I didn't feel like I could. I was so in protect mode. And yeah, it's just such a gift not to be there anymore. So that was really the first thing that popped into my head. Just all the fighting, all the, why are you being so defensive? You don't have to be so defensive. Oh, but I do. Right. Oh, but I do.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I also just want to honor is that it sounds like at that time, that was true for you, right? I know you're already having compassion for all of that, but I'm just like underscoring it because it's so important for us as practitioners to have compassion for that when it is happening with clients and support our clients to have compassion towards themselves with it, right? Because sometimes we don't have the tools yet. They might get the tools from us or whatever it is, or it might be that they still need 5 years before they're ready for that, right? That particular thing.
Yeah.
Jennifer.
So mine came up. It was actually is my hand down now? Sorry. Last year I was starting a business with a friend and I absolutely freaked out and stopped everything. And that's when this pattern of self-sabotage, I was able to stop and go, okay, hold on. This is a pattern in my life. And then I could go back and see how I did that with every, except my husband, but with everyone and everything. And I was like, okay, I have to change this. And thank God I have such a great friend that we're now kind of restarting that a year later. But I really needed to work through the old story and the old patterns, the limiting beliefs of I'm not enough, I'm not worthy of this. And it's just crazy how it really wreaks havoc on your dreams if you don't catch it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Or if you don't have compassion for it in that moment, right? It's like that one thing can then snowball.
Yeah.
And so it's like, again, from practitioner point of view, you know this, but just to underscore, support our clients to move past the resistance. And at the same time, if they're not ready, we want to be supportive of that as well and not make that a deficit or you're not whole and complete because of that.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And Heather, and then we're going to keep on going.
So for me, I would say it's mostly in my recovery. I took 11 trips to rehab and, you know, I often say what was so magical about number 12. And so now, of course, through my training, everything I learned, it was resistance, but,
yeah.
But number 12 is when it finally stuck.
Yeah. I love that you're bringing this forward. First of all, I just want to honor you for continuing to come back and come back and come back to it. Just it says so much. And I'm so glad that you're sharing this example because it's like, sometimes it does, right? And it's not that nothing happened between time one and time 11. I'm almost positive without knowing your story that there were micro movements throughout, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm very transparent with my women, and, you know, rehab didn't give up on me and I won't give up on them.
So. Beautiful. I love it. Okay, good. Let's keep on going. Here's another question just to consider. I'm not going to take shares on it, but just to consider. When was a time either a coach or another practitioner that you were working with, or a partner or a friend or a parent, tried to push you past your resistance when you weren't ready or willing? And then what were the results of that? Or you can look at it the other way around. When was the time that maybe you, as the coach or practitioner or friend or parent, tried to push someone past their resistance when they weren't willing or ready? And what was the result of that? Feeling more resistance and self-protection. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what Nicole is sharing is often at the heart of it, right? Is when we try to push, there's more resistance, more self-protection. Anita saying feeling disrespected. Disappointment, feeling excluded. Yeah. So we can see from all of this that the pushing is not valuable. Even if we have the best intentions in mind for our clients, the pushing isn't valuable if they're not ready. Okay. So, Vesica.
I just have to say, I have learned this the hard way, and I'm so grateful you're bringing this up. I've been challenged with this because I love to grow. And I just think that everybody else does. And I have really done a lot of pushing with my husband. And I really learned a lot with being in relationship with him and having the experience of it not being received so well, how much I was, you know, how I have to really watch that with myself, because not everyone is excited about growing or even wants to sometimes.
Yeah, or is going to approach it that way. I mean, what you're talking about is checking filters, right? So it's like, absolutely. Your filter is like, bring it on, tell me what I need to know, I'm going to go there. Right. But not everyone is in that place or showing up with that filter.
Yeah. And I noticed that because of that filter, I would push. Right. And then I would try to, like, you know, with clients in the past, really like negotiate getting around, like, well, how can I say this in a different way? How can I? And I just really love this conversation. And, yeah. And I noticed that when I just let go and surrender and realize that I'm not responsible for anyone's growth, and all I'm here to do is hold space and bring awareness, things really, you know, again, it's a constant thing with my husband, meaning, like, you know, it's the
easy
best
to go there. To check it. Yeah. It's so easy to go there with partners. I know what you mean.
I'll let you know when I'm not doing it anymore.
Same. Anina.
Yeah, I
I resonate a lot with what Vesica just shared, that I do it so much with others, and but mostly I do it so much with myself. I push myself. I'm like with loved ones, I'm like, okay, I want to look at my resistance, and I feel that I'm triggered, but then I pretend somehow that no, I feel pretty regulated. I'm okay. I'm not triggered. Let's look at this. Okay, what's my share? I want to own this. I want to know what am I filtering? What am I projecting into someone else? And then I'm kind of supposedly being aware that I'm being resistant and being triggered. But then at the same time, I'm kind of bypassing. I'm like, I'm not looking at the, I'm not really being open, actually. I might even name, okay, this is becoming, it's coming from this wound or this wound, but then I'm not being open to receive. And then when the other person might say something else, respond in response to my wounds, for example, then I would be completely like defensive again, and that, not actually,
yeah, it's
not
okay.
Happening at all. Yeah.
It's so, like, well, so, look at that. It's kind of, it's like this shadow that happened.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so we'll look at that and like how to break some of that cycle of that for sure. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad you're bringing that up. And then also this thing of pushing ourselves, right? So moments in my life where I have tried to push past my resistance when I wasn't ready, it just backfired on me and created a whole other set of issues. I can give like so many examples, but the first one that pops up is I remember when I first started my business, I had a coach who was like, Joanna, you need to raise your rates. You absolutely need to raise your rates. Your work is so good. You're charging too little. Raise your rates, right? And of course, there were many parts of me that wanted to raise my rates, but I wasn't there yet. It didn't feel safe enough yet for me to do that thing. I still needed to work through fears of visibility and not being good enough and right, and not perfectly and all the way through, because I still have all of them, right? But like enough to get to the place of raising the rates. But like this client in her raw, this coach in her rah-rah way was just like, you need to do this. I know you need to do this. And what happened is I did raise my rates. I didn't honor that actually the resistance was coming from a place of I am not ready yet to do this. I raised my rates and I went from converting basically like almost 100% of prospects to converting 0% of prospects, which made me feel even worse about myself and less ready. And then I had to work through all of that. And in the end, what was right for me was to just raise my rates in small increments each time I was ready for the next little jump in each, right? But anyway, I'm giving this as an example of there's so many different things that can happen when we just try to like steamroll and like get somebody to do something. Vesica, is it a quickie?
Yeah, it's a quick question. Would you say that resistance, that before you could raise your rates, that you actually needed to work through where that was coming from? Like if there's like, I'm not a good enough or whatever that is, and then work with that first and then raise, because I've seen this happen to so many people in the coaching world and it really breaks my heart.
I mean,
because there's coaching.
Each person is different. Sorry to interrupt. I'll say like each person is different, but in my experience and in so many people that I've worked with, again, we're not ever going to work through it fully, but it's like, let's create enough of an opening, like through a befriend your fear process, you know, whatever it is, to be like, even if it's like, I'm willing $25, right? Not $2,000, whatever it is. But sometimes it's just about working it in little steps there. Okay. None of you will be surprised to hear what I say next, which is that energetics are huge when it comes to navigating client resistance. And really, step one to navigating client resistance before we use any technique is before we say anything, et cetera, is about our energetics. So first energetic piece, just like fear is normal, resistance is normal, right? We already learned fear is normal. Resistance is a symptom of fear. It's normal. It's normal. It's normal, right? It's just part of the human, can be part of the human process of growth. There is nothing bad or wrong if resistance shows up. Resistance, this is a big one. I want everybody to write this one down. Resistance is not the enemy, right? And it doesn't, and we can't make our clients the enemy when we show up with resistance. Doesn't mean resistance shows up. It doesn't mean that there you've done anything wrong as a practitioner, and it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with your client. And if you are experiencing resistance, there is nothing wrong with you. It just means that you're a human being. Just like with fear, the moment that you pathologize resistance or see it as the enemy or see it as something has gone wrong, that's the moment that it becomes so much harder to navigate. If you see resistance as a problem, even if you don't say those words, your client is much more likely to see their resistance as a problem. But if you see resistance as a sign that your client is working on growth and that it's normal and workable, then your client is much more likely to see this as well. Think about the energetic difference between approaching resistance with fear or dread, or even hating on it when it comes up for a client, versus approaching the client's resistance, even if they're mad at you or blaming you, versus approaching it with a sense of this is normal and okay. And then let's take that a step further. Imagine the difference if then you also actually love on the resistance and love on your client when they're in resistance. Because what happens for practitioners when they haven't learned this, when they haven't worked through this, is a client shows up late. Consistently, a client, you know, pushes back in mean ways, a client, right? All the different things that I mentioned before. And then in our bodies, we go into our survival mechanisms, into our fight or flight, right? Whatever it is, or dread or fear or hating, right? And that energy is felt in the container versus when a client shows up with resistance, when we can actually say, this is normal. And not only that, but I'm gonna love on this client, even in their resistance. I'm gonna not only love on the client, I'm gonna love on their resistance. Let me pause there. What's feeling important about that? Again, to put it another way, and Anina was just describing this, if our client shows up with resistance, we don't want to counter with resistance, and then we're in a resistance dance. What's feeling important about this? What are you seeing? Who wants to share? Julie's saying it feels simultaneously really good and really challenging. Do you want to come on voice to voice and talk a little bit more about that, Julie?
Sure.
I'm gonna turn my video on too. So I am welcoming a woman in this Saturday for my second in-person. Still don't really know exactly what I'm calling these, but like a solo sacred soul care retreat day. And so we were communicating this morning and she shared quite a lot of big, intense stuff that she's feeling into in preparation for our time together. And then I had an encounter with my sister, I call her sister outlaw, but sister-in-law, who is the person who paid for this woman to come see me. And she shared that this woman shared with her after our communication that she's feeling some resistance. So I don't know more than that, but I am noticing it activating in me some resistance and like, oh shit, what's that about? And did I say something wrong? And I feel pretty confident that I didn't. I feel like I met her really beautifully and appropriately given the nature of our exchange via messenger this morning. And I clearly communicated, like, you know, while normalizing all that she was bringing forward, I just said, I want to be clear that I am in no way promising to completely heal and transform this with you or for you this weekend. Like,
yeah. So thank you for sharing this example and also like where you're at with it. And first, I just want to normalize like how you're feeling. You know, it's like, of course, right? And here's where the work is. And again, I'm not on some pedestal where I get this perfect all the time, but it's like, this is like a guiding light that we kind of want to move, always be just moving towards, which is instead of if somebody has resistance to go into, oh shit, right? What I did wrong, to when somebody has a client has resistance, to go into, ooh, I'm curious about this. This is interesting. I wonder what's coming up for her because I know she really wants to achieve X, Y, or Z. I want to explore this. Can feel like a huge leap, but that's where we kind of want to remind ourselves to try to be with the curiosity, with the, oh, she's in a very normal human we must have actually hit on something important. I actually might have done something right. We hit on something important. And right. And then it's still hard to navigate it. I'm not saying like then it's easy peasy, but it puts us in such a better position because we're not in all of our stuff so much around it. Is that helpful to think of it that way?
Yeah, absolutely. And like, I also just want to acknowledge, I noticed that, first of all, I apologize for being late to our call today. And what I've noticed since being on the call and hearing all of this and feeling everything I'm feeling, you know, about what I just shared, I, like I said, I'm feeling really activated. So I've just been like kind of soothing myself and just being with and noticing these feelings. And throughout the afternoon, since I had that interaction with my sister-in-law, I just kind of keep coming back to, okay, today is Tuesday. She's coming Saturday. I'm going to ride these waves. I know that these different experiences are going to come to the surface. And my work between now and then is to just really focus on regulating my nervous system, my energy, and being present and, you know, creating and setting the space and just being ready to welcome her in and just hold the container in the way that I do. And like, that's the other thing that I'm aware of kind of getting in the way. That's sort of my resistance piece, is comparison stuff and feeling like I want to make sure to bring in all of these elements that maybe another practitioner would do, or that I've seen or really appreciated in other containers, instead of just being like, Julie, just do you, just bring your magic.
Exactly. Do you, and do it with love for yourself and love for the client, no matter what. Yes.
And I just also left my sister-in-law, in response to her sharing this, like knowing that they'll be in communication, like even though this piece that has come forward is big and intense, and I'm perfectly happy and willing to receive her and hold all of this, I just emphasized, like, this day doesn't, there's no rule that says she has to come here and we have to do like massively deep, heavy excavation.
Well, that's right. And that's back to like, what is the client ready for? Right. And being in tune with that and not pushing.
Like, even real. I'm just like, maybe I'm just going to run a bath for her and like really take this approach, rather than it being about like sitting in circle kind of space, but just like, let me mother you.
Yeah. That's beautiful. So not to get too much into this case study, but well, two things I want to say brief. Just one is, you also may want to start the session with like what's come up for you since our last session, what's been feeling really exciting and what's been feeling a little like, you know, just as a way of normalizing that there's probably both, and having a discussion about it. And that will actually help you know even more. Is it a bath? Is it sitting in circle? You know, but I'd actually open it up for conversation in a very easy way. Not like, I sense you're having resistance and so, right? But just like, what's been moving through you, and give the suggestion both by way of excitement and also by way of like, oh, I don't know. That will really help. And then the other thing I wanted to say is, I don't know if resistance was your words or your sister outlaw, your outlaw sister words, or the client's, but if it was the client's words, that's already, you're already two steps ahead, because they are seeing that they're having resistance. So
it's kind of like, and both, like I could feel it from her, and my sister outlaw said that she was, she didn't say that she said it, but.
Right. So when you're feeling it, you want to ask, you do want to ask, and we'll get more to that. Okay, good. All right. We'll go a couple more minutes and then we'll take a break. Okay. So what I have found over the last two decades of my own inner work, as well as working with many, many people, is that when someone goes into resistance in the ways that we have been talking about it today, how do I want to put this? It's almost as if they're not fully in themselves, but it's as if they've stepped into a particular energy that is leading the resistant behavior. They've stepped into what Jung would call an archetypal energy. So an archetype is an energy that your client takes on, usually inadvertently, or if energy doesn't quite resonate with you, it's a way of being or acting that they take on specifically when they're in the resistance. And the archetype, or the archetypal energy, is almost like they have their own self energy, and then they step into this archetypal energy that's different a little bit from who they are when they're in their full self or highest self, we can call it. Or another way you can think of it is like, it's almost like the resistance archetype, that energy is like they're putting a mask on. That is the mask is almost what they need to put on as a response to a fear or a trigger. It's an energy that's not who they are when they're in their highest self. It's a part of them, an aspect of them, but it's not all of them. So, an example from my personal life, I kind of mentioned it earlier, but even not when it's like criticism from John, like if something happens that is like stressful in the household, one of my go-to places is to be really negative with John. Like if I'm worried about one of our daughters, for example, even though in my like highest self energy, I'm very capable and I'm very positive and I can see that there are going to be good outcomes, if it's really a deep fear, like I'm worried really there's something wrong with one of our daughters or whatever, I can become the most catastrophic person that ever was, like truly. And it's almost as if there's a part of me that's looking, now this is because I've done a lot of my work, it's almost like a part of me is looking down on me and is like, who is that intensely catastrophic woman that's talking to her husband right now, you know? But it's like, even though I know better, it's like an energetic vortex that I get pulled into. I'm so compelled to be that victim or like to catastrophize things when the fear is that big. That makes sense. So take a moment and look inside yourself. How do you respond when you are not in your highest self? Like, what is a like energetic vortex that you step into when that fear is so big? Defensiveness, becoming quiet and going within, don't want to talk to anyone. Vesica, are you saying that you go into confusion or you're confused about what I'm sharing?
I'm confused about what you're sharing because I'm not sure if I just got confused, but what I was hearing is you were talking about resistance. And then you started talking about fear, and then you started talking about how you get triggered. And I see them all differently. And I'm trying to navigate resistance in that. Are you saying that because you were talking about if something bad happened or you go into your negative, the worst thing that could happen or something with your daughter, but in reaction to what? And so that's where I'm a little confused.
That's exactly it. So like a core fear comes up, right? We're not okay. My daughter's not okay because of something that's happened. And then to distract from the feeling of those feelings and work through the fear, I go into that resistance energy of like, it's catastrophic. Like I am so negative and catastrophic.
So the resistance energy is in lieu of actually looking at what's really true and asking yourself, is this really true or am I in reaction? And then resistance energy comes in that's the behavior that you have that protects you from looking at the fear.
Exactly. Right. Okay. And then I can be distracted and John and I can get distracted by him trying to convince me that Panina's not going to end up in prison as an adult, whatever it is. Instead of me being in my discomfort with either like my own parenting and that, or like what is happening with her or any of that. that heavy negativity catastrophe distracts from that. That makes sense?
Yeah, I'm like, I call that drama.
Yeah, good.
I don't mean to say that to you. I just find that when I do that for myself, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm in drama right now. I've got to like get out of drama and get clear. Yeah.
Yes. Good. I'm seeing a lot of other great examples. I feel like I missed a question from Doris in the chat. Doris is saying, how do you know the resistance isn't personal, meaning the client isn't resisting the coach? What do we do if the client is resistant to the coach herself for whatever reason? So Doris, again, and you'll see more as we get into the archetypes, sometimes the resistance can be to the coach itself as a way of distracting from a deeper fear. Now, that being said, like I said earlier, if it's just simply not a good match, we need to look at that. And explore that. And I'll talk more about how to do that, because usually this will come up in the judge archetype, so we'll get there. But most of the time, the resistance to the coach, if it's spurred on by a fear, is not actually the coach. That's just the distraction. Okay. All right. I'd love to hear one more voice. What are you seeing? We're going to take a break in a few minutes. What are you seeing so far? What's feeling important? What are you noticing, either personally for yourself or practitioner-wise or in general about all of this? What's feeling important so far?
I can speak to that a little bit. I see a parallel between what came up for me last time with energetics about hiding and what's coming out now. So when I feel threatened, one of my core fears comes up, I actually do quiet. I get quieter and I make myself smaller, and that's defensive mechanism that I saw in energetics. So and I'm also I've become more aware of past trauma and trying to work through it, but like, so I'll be looking at the parallels with that, but I can see that it's generally a defense mechanism. And I'm very curious about that.
Yeah, good. I'm glad. And I'm glad that your curiosity about it is activated.
Yes. I'm ready to do some unraveling.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, good. So let's take a break and then we'll come back and we'll look at some of the most common resistance archetypes and some ways of working with them. So let's come back at 4:15 Eastern. 4:15 Eastern. Thanks.